Okay, we're going to go to our first caller this morning. Hello, welcome to Brass Tack Sunday.
Hello, are you hearing me?
Yes, we are. Go ahead.
I'm very glad to be on this program this morning, and I want to say good morning to the panel, and particularly to Mr. Adrian. How are you?
I'm fine. How's the book doing?
It's doing very well. You have to get your copy. I know you mentioned that. Let me say that this whole thing about cruise tourism started back when hoteliers were describing the cruise liners as hotels with propellers, and they should not be allowed in here. Fortunately, I was on the scene at that time, and I differed, and it was Mr. Bernard St. John who listened to what little advice I had to offer at the time, that we have to diversify our product, and therefore the cruise tourism should be encouraged. And I would credit him a lot with what has happened. May I remind the panel that the cruise tourism took off when we had the fly cruise, where people would fly into Barbados and board the liners. And that is how they were initially supported. We know in the aviation industry, only the wealthy were allowed to travel, were able to travel at one time. But now it is mass transit. So the types of people who are now coming in on ships are quite different from those who initially came here. We have mass transit with the ships now. As you see, the sizes of the ships and the offerings of the ships are quite different from what they were before. Now, have we looked at this, and have we made any changes to a dynamic market? Have we looked at the ages of the people, the masses of the people who are traveling, the income levels, and their interests? Setting up a body to look into the cruise tourism industry is not going to do it unless you have a proper survey done and find out what you're dealing with, what these people want, and are we able to offer it. I heard the panelists from the Bahamas offer some very useful suggestions. Mind you, the Bahamas is in a unique position. They're very close to the markets, the United States and Canada, so their position is quite different from ours. They would most likely get the first pick of the people who are coming here. They also have a lot of attractions. For example, they do have gambling. We have seen the same thing about gambling in the St. Martin.
Okay.
But I do know, I don't want to take up too much time, but just give me a minute or two longer.
Well, I'd like you to put a question to the panel.
Yes. No, I'm going, my question would be, what are your expectations with the new, the dynamic changes we've seen in the cruise industry? What are your expectations in terms of building up the things that would interest the cruise passengers, other than asking them to go and buy jewelry?
I think the question here that is particularly relevant is with the projected increase in the size and the offerings. What are the threats, and what are the opportunities for countries like Barbados in that regard? I think that is really the crux of this issue.
I watched an interview yesterday with the CEO of Carnival Corporation, which, as you probably know, is the world's largest leisure company. They have 105 ships across 10 brands, operating out of 700 ports across the world. They had a turnover last year of $17.51 billion. And Arnold Donald, the dynamic CEO, left me with a phrase which I thought really sums up tourism. When he finished the interview, which I think was on their newest ship, the Horizon, out of Miami, he said, the secret to our success is to give them what they want. And that, to me, sums up our tourism here. We have to look for unique experiences on the island, rather like Sean said, maybe going back to basics. You see, the 97 new ships will be launched between 2017 and 2026. Many of these are going to be the mega ships, like the Oasis class, which carries 6,000 plus people, 1,700, 1,800 crew. One of them even has a go-kart racing rink on the top deck, you know, like a bushy park on water. You know, so we have to look, we have to go back to basics and see what especially we are good at doing here and what unique experiences we can offer. I personally feel with the buying power that somebody like Carnival Corporation has, we can never compete on shopping for sure, because they can source things anywhere in the world, duty-free, tax-free, whatever-free. So we have to come back to, again, I'll repeat it, unique experiences that we can offer here.
I'd like to get the point of view of Vincent Vanderpool Wallace as we look at the expansion of cruise liners. Are you there?
I am, yes.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the opportunities and the threats associated with the growth, the mammoth vessels that they're building now, and the fact that they're putting so many services and amenities on board?
Well, that's exactly what is happening. And so we're going to find ourselves where the number of ships is growing, the size of the ships growing. The Caribbean becomes even more important in terms of the cruise companies. And so what Adrian Loveridge and Mr. DeFreitas were saying earlier in terms of making sure that you are creating experiences that are highly likely to be desired by the people on these ships is really where the focus is and has to be. And incidentally, just to make the point, we were talking about earlier about what departure tax is. Bahamas departure tax is $18 right now. And the other thing that the Bahamas has been focused on and did a great job of was increasing the amount of time that the ships are in port, because you cannot spend money when the ships are sailing someplace else. So in addition to expanding the services that are available and the products that are available, you also want to increase as best you can, as part of the conversation, the time that people on board those ships have an opportunity to get off and experience what you have on offer. And the other thing we should always remember is when you create these new experiences, they're not being created entirely for the cruise passenger. They're also for the stopover visitor. So you make the whole set of experiences in Barbados that much richer for everybody by focusing on making sure that they especially are going to deliver to what the people on cruise ships desire.
Here in Barbados, one of the discussion points has to do with control of aspects of the industry. This study said that both the minimal demand as well as the poor perception of the country's tourism products may reflect the lack of diversity and small numbers of businesses engaged in the sector. On the supply side, Barbados's local industry is controlled by Foster and Inns, a domestic enterprise that offers integrated services across the chain, including transportation, shore excursion, and logistical options. While its history and successes affords the company advantages that benefit the country, it also has helped. It has also helped to accumulate significant market power. And this is seen as an impediment to smaller operators. Now, let's accept that they have done an outstanding job. They've gone out there, they've had direct contact with the people in the industry. But with every plus, there is a minus. And as we look at the expansion, the question is, how much more opportunity can be created for others in the Barbados?
This is very true. And I wanted to ask you, Sean, in terms of your relationship with the cruise lines, have you found it challenging working directly with them to get the passengers interested in your business? Because it seems to me as though a large percentage of our cruise on shore activity is filtered through the Foster and Inns filter. And certainly we have these studies telling us that other businesses need to be involved. But to what extent is it easy to really get direct access to the cruise lines to be able to pitch what you have to offer?
I think I'm going to shock you terribly here. I don't have a relationship with the cruise lines. We do what we do out of word of mouth. We created what we created back in 2000. We had gone to a little beach bar on Browns Beach after the failure of what was then Carlisle Bay Centre, who was selling tours on the cruise ships. They didn't make it and they had failed. And Boatyard was, back in those days, a nightclub more than anything else. It was a Friday evening lime and Tuesday night. We had a lot of live entertainment at the Boatyard. When we got involved in the Boatyard, it was our intention to go after a beach culture sort of thing and go after the cruise ship business. And we had a bit of a difficulty in the beginning because it was seen, the area of Carlisle Bay was seen as a danger area. It was close to too close to the city and hence close to ghettos, and there was drugs, there was, you know, theft that was going on. And so a lot of stuff, a lot of people weren't sent there. Crew members would come, but not a lot of passengers. We took it seriously and we went about it. We befriended the crew. We were nice with them. And in the early days, to be very honest with you, we paid for an ad to go on the boat and so on. And that was it. But we never sold a tour. We've never, ever, ever sold a tour through Foss and Ince, through directly with the cruise ships or anyway, which is why I am saying that if we want to create this new diverse opportunity for selling our product in Barbados, we need to look at it now from the small business side of things and not look at it from creating new tours that a Foss and Ince per se will pick up, or the Weatherhead group, Suntours, or one of these larger groups. We need to get together with our cultural community, with our taxi drivers, with our people that live in the fishing villages and so on, and create these things. And now what you have to do is you have to create this. You talked about being a high-tech world. It is. Everybody doesn't buy off of a cruise ship itinerary now. They do their research. And if we could create something that when you do your research, you can find things that are out there that are not mass amounts. Like, I'll give you an example, and I don't want to cry anybody down, but if you go on a large cruise ship tour that's been sold and you get there, it's usually like a people mover. It's like they pack sardines into a bus or onto a boat or whatever. And then people are looking to get away from that now, and they're looking for more personal sort of things. I had an experience in Cuba 20 years ago that I thought was fantastic. I mean, five men went on a tour to Cuba, and we ended up eating in people's houses, hanging with people on the street corner, playing a little baseball, things that we would never have done. But it was cool. We walked around in markets and shopped for art and stuff like that. Five men on a tour together. So you would expect that we were just in places drinking rum and getting on. But we weren't. We were doing these things and we enjoyed it. And Barbados had so much of that to offer. But we need to, in order to get it to work, we need to be able to market it. And that's where the conversation should go now, is how do we create those things? How do we bring culture? How do we bring entertainment? How do we bring the beach culture into it? And how do we then take that whole thing now and market it on our own without having to go through the big companies? And then just take the spill off from what is coming. We have 800,000 people coming here that we're not paying to come here. This is like one of the biggest spends timeshare is building the property. After that, it's marketing the property. It's getting people to come and see your property. So they'll give you t-shirts and money and all that to come and see the property. We have somebody bringing 800,000 people here to us every year without us having to pay for it. They're here sitting on our doorstep. What are we doing to say to them, Barbados is the most beautiful place in the world? And I think we have the solutions. They're right here. We don't need to keep beating the dog. We just need to know, we need to start developing these things. And that's where we need to go next. I don't think we need to go into this, look into what has caused the problem and where it has gone from there, or the fact that we've spoken about it for 20 years. How do we move now, right now, and go forward with this?
Yes, I totally agree with you. And what I find interesting, and I have to lament it because I would have spent a number of years at the BTA, what I find interesting, we have no hesitation putting together, 12, 15 people to do a cruise commission. But there are two people in the cruise department, in the marketing team at the BTMI, as far as I know. So how can we be really serious about rejigging our marketing strategy if we're not putting the resources in the right place? I struggle to find current data in terms of how much we're spending as it pertains to marketing crews. But from what I found, it's clear that we're going to the C-Trade conferences and the FCCA conferences. Not sure to what extent we're going there to negotiate, again, collectively with our peers in the region. And then we're giving about $2 million to Carnival. So other than that, I'm not sure to what extent we're really aggressively putting money directly into crews. Similarly, the Barbados Tourism Investment Inc. 100% of their projects, as far as I see it, are focused on land-based crews. What about the cruise side of things? Sorry, land-based tourism. What about the cruise side of things? To what extent could they perhaps get involved in helping to do this? And the last point I want to make on that is that earlier this year, the former Minister of Finance would have had a meeting, big to do in the press, about a new IDB National Tourism Program loan, about $20 million. And one of the areas that they earmarked for spend was to help increase the visitor spend, as well as the information going out into the destination to help people understand, as you mentioned before, the importance of culture and the service culture, rather, and taking care of our visitors. What I find most concerning, though, is that tourism is our main economic earner. Why are we killing our own bread and butter sector by delivering bad service and undermining ourselves? And the minister said it, a lot of the things that people have earmarked as difficulties within our tourism sector from a cruise perspective are things within our control. Our quality of life is directly linked to tourism. I would like to know from persons working in the sector, if you can call in and tell us, what is the concern or the challenge with delivering that Ritz-Carlton level service? I would like to know.
Charity begins at home and good tourism begins at home as well. It is how you treat your own people to begin with. Here's some feedback, though. This person says, from a tourist point of view, the point of taking a cruise is to see other places all at once. When the ship reaches each port, your aim is to see, smell, and taste that particular country, walk through the environs, or go on a bus tour. Barbados can monopolize on getting cruise ship passengers to spend money even at the beach. Put the right people in place who understand how. It's not rocket science. This other person says that we should be putting more emphasis on things like heritage tourism. And they ask, are we fully maximizing heritage tourism? What about donkey car transport from the port to Bridgetown using its own donkey path through the alleyways of Bridgetown all the way to the garrison? They say we have to look at the category of passenger to Barbados that don't travel to spend, or just like an all-inclusive hotel experience and enjoy the ship's offerings to a maximum. So there's some suggestions here that we need to examine to a greater degree, exactly how we are maximizing the tourism product. I wonder, from your vantage point in the Bahamas, how much work needs to be done, Vincent Vanderpool Wallace, in exploiting that aspect of the tourism product for cruise?
Well, I think a great deal of work has to be done, but I also continue to emphasize that a number of the products that we are talking about creating are products that are also available for visitors who are spending a significant number of nights in Barbados, mm-hmm. days and nights in Barbados, which cumulatively are much larger than the total number, the amount of hours spent by the cruise passengers in Barbados. And what you're trying to address in Barbados is an issue that is a focus on nearly every destination in our region. I mean, for the longest period of time, I think we made the mistake of believing that cruise passengers were people who would have been in our hotels if the cruise ship did not exist. That is not true. And what was made, the point that was made a little bit earlier, many people who are buying a cruise are purchasing a multi-destination experience. That's why they are going on the cruise ship in the first place. And if you ever try to do that within our region by air, we don't even need to discuss that, because the cost of doing it and the complications involved in doing that are so substantial. So you get a number of people who are trying to buy a multi-destination experience. And that's why I keep going back and harping on the point that we need to identify, from the cruise perspective, what other destinations are being visited by the ship that I'm included on. And therefore, making sure that what I'm providing is not something that somebody would have experienced at the destination that they're coming from to me. I need to make sure that I'm creating another experience that and so compelling that they have to get on the ship and do it. So a substantial amount of the work, I think, has been done. I agree with you. There are all kinds of, so there's a great deal of desk research that will reveal what it is we need to do. And now we need to encourage and create incentives for people to begin to provide those experiences that I think will increase the average spend and also increase the absolute spend.
We just heard Sean De Freitas speak about the experience he had in Cuba. Can you point to anything that you've seen in the Caribbean that suggests that it's different and attractive?
Oh, I mean, I think what was talked about earlier is the Caribbean in and of itself is extraordinarily special. And the beauty of the Caribbean is people come to see it as a collection of different experiences all in the same area. So there is no need for us to sell the Caribbean. The Caribbean sells itself, except when you get into the microcosm of it. We need to talk about the specific experiences that can be delivered. And so what you described in Cuba is the kind of experience that I think we need to begin to take another look at. I mean, what he described is something we in the Bahamas describe as a people-to-people experience. In many, many cases, and it goes back to the point that Adrian Loveridge was talking about, is that tourism happens at the interface of our local people and the visitor, period. So if you're not focusing on making sure that that interaction is the best it can be, no matter how brilliant you think you are failing in tourism. And so it's very important that the people who are on the front line understand how vitally important they are and properly recognized and compensated for delivering that experience. So what he described in Cuba with regard to these wonderful experiences going into people's homes is the same kind of experience, which is the highest form of experience, for example, in the Bahamas in terms of people-to-people, where visitors come and get into people's homes. What we need to do and interact directly with people, what we need to do is to make sure that we are preparing and packaging it in such a way that's extraordinary. I mean, one of the things that I've always been astonished by is that in Barbados, for example, where is the Legends of Cricket of cricket tour? I'm amazed at how rich the country is in terms of its cricketing history. And where is the tour that shows somebody, here is where so-and-so or whomever the individual is, here is where he started school, here is where he got this experience, here's that happened. I assure you, large numbers of people, particularly people coming from the UK, would be mesmerized by that kind of experience. So we need to begin to look into ourselves and see what is it that is so different and so compelling on our side, and begin to create these experiences that people will rush off the boat and make sure, off the ship. They hate us calling these things boats. So rush off the ship and make sure that they have that experience. So we begin to think of some of those very creative ways to deliver something that is unique for our specific countries. I think you're going to be able to find it.
I think that what you're pointing to is really a challenge or a deficit where it comes to our marketing leadership and creative thinking. Because, for example, if you look at our tourism master plan, there is a list, a very, very long list of things that are unique to Barbados, things that you can only experience here in the island. But somehow between the research, the academic exercise, and coming to a marketing decision, there seems to be some disconnect. I want to ask you a question as it relates to the Southern Caribbean Cruise Alliance, Vincent. Were you ever involved in that? Were you aware of it? What happened to it? Because it seemed as though it was something that had a lot of potential. As a matter of fact, former director of cruise for Barbados, Ryan Blackett, mentioned it to me as he submitted his contribution to today's program, suggesting that the Southern Caribbean Cruise Alliance fell by the wayside, but it had the potential to help our destinations in the region as it pertains to moving cruise forward. What are your thoughts?
I agree completely. I mean, it goes back to what I continue to say, is that when you look at a particular cruise vessel, you want to look at where else is this vessel going and how can I make sure that the people coming off the ship get something special and different in my destination. That was one of the very important objectives of that alliance, which still makes a great deal of sense. Because what you're trying to do is to collectively grow the spend to the several destinations for people coming off the ship. And the best way to do that is to make sure that they come to see that itinerary as having something special at every single point that they must get off and do. And, you know, even though it's not be exactly the same thing, but a diverse set of experiences that makes it very important for them to get off and buy that experience.
One more question for you from me, as it relates to the management of the port. My understanding is that in the Bahamas, you have a private-public sector partnership going on, whereas here in Barbados, it's all government-managed. What have you seen as it relates to the changes or the perhaps improvements in efficiency with your port in the Bahamas following that move to involve the private sector?
No, I think, as I said earlier, there is a great deal of commiseration going on. What you just described for the Bahamas is the intent. And the minister has publicly said that that's where they're going with the cruise port in the Bahamas. We're not there yet, but he is very much focused on making sure we get there. And that is something that I applaud. I will tell you that we did exactly the same kind of thing with Nassau International Airport. And the difference between the before and after is night and day. So I'm looking forward to that private-public partnership in managing the cruise port here in the Bahamas. And by the way, there is no cruise port in the Bahamas. I mean, we're talking about the port of Nassau. There are multiple ports in the Bahamas and more to come. So that also is what makes the Bahamas a little bit different from what happens in other parts of the Caribbean.
Let's take a call. This is Brass Tax Sunday, coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the panel. Good afternoon, everybody. Now, I worked in tourism for probably 30 years. I worked in Bermuda, I worked in Canada, and obviously I worked in Barbados as well. I agree wholeheartedly with the comments that Crystal has said with respect to that. We know virtually every reason why we are failing as a destination. And to have a commission set up, who is going to supposedly to go out there and investigate these reasons again, to me, is like spinning top of a mud and just repeating things. And one of my biggest concerns with the commission as well, from who the people that I've heard named on the commission, how could you have a commission and don't have an architect on it? When one of the biggest problems we have in Barbados is the physical aspect of what is there. Okay, the fact that the port, that cruise ships dock in a port so far away from the city, and the sterility of it all, and that is the major aspect of the experience. Now, in terms of cooperation, we are all competing destinations. And again, the biggest problem we have had with the cruise sector has been the philosophy of divide and conquer that has been happened with the cruise companies in the States dividing each island and then making them compete against each other. And the first question I would always ask is, why haven't all the islands gone together collectively and bought a cruise ship or even got shares in a cruise ship? Why do we leave the experience of the Caribbean to a company in the States to design? Disney has a ship of its own. People go on that Disney cruise to experience Disney. So therefore, to go to the ports and experience Disney-themed ports. But in the Caribbean, because if you want to talk about cooperation or getting all together, we should all get together, buy shares in one particular ship, and then design it as a carnival, a true, authentic Caribbean experience from beginning to end. Now, the next thing, when they talk about the physical aspect of it, in Bermuda, the ship comes right onto Front Street. Okay, and this the experience of the tourist then, nobody wants to stay on the board. On board, you get off and you explore the front street. My radical idea for Barbados, to be totally honest, is to all that Traverse Way, tear it up. Pelican Village, tear it up. Build a port, build berth there, especially for the new mega ships that are coming, because it can be accommodated in the existing port. So when we do that port expansion, build it right there.
Actually, I had a discussion with an architect a couple years back who said the exact same thing. Only thing he said, to let the ships dock where the Costa Mannings is right now. Move that from there and make that our new port. It's a very interesting comment and certainly a different view because you're in the field, I'm assuming, as an architect. And that's not a perspective that we tourism players normally take into consideration. Adrian, what do you think? Should we move the new berth over to Traverse Way?
I think it's a very good idea. And of course, going back to what the gentleman mentioned about been more involved in the cruise industry. We had this golden opportunity 10, 12 years ago when we saw a fairly new ship lying idle in the port, or in Carlisle Bay actually, which the company went bust. One thing, I'd go back to my wife and my experience on the Carnival ship. We were served by 37 nationalities, yeah? Russia, Moldavia, you name it, Philippines. And there were a handful of Caribbean people on there. And if for no other reason that we should get more Caribbean people involved in an industry that is so important, we should look at some private, public way of operating our own ship. We had another golden opportunity with Sestilius and his Easy Cruise. He launched a ship that went from island to island, overnight, so you booked a cruise with a very basic, it was intended originally for backpackers but could be taken to a higher level, so that your accommodation was the ship and then you had all day in port and you could see four or five different islands in the space of a week. Eventually, and I spoke to him at length at the time to try and beg him to stay in Barbados. He eventually went, I think, to St. Martin, where the port charges were a fraction of the cost here, and then eventually pulled out, and I think they're still operating in the Greek islands somewhere. But there are these opportunities, and as I mentioned before, Carnival Cruise, Carnival Corporation, $17.51 billion. And I'm sure Vincent can correct me, but I would dream that half of that income is probably derived from the Caribbean region.